Good morning. It's Tuesday, July 28th, 2026. This is Clear Text. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves. Let's get into it.
We've got a packed show today. An autonomous AI agent used in a confirmed state-level espionage campaign. Shiny Hunters claiming a breach at Ernst & Young through a supply chain attack. A CVSS-10 in Arista VeloCloud that's being actively exploited right now. A fast JSON zero-day hitting U.S. companies. A new ADCS exploit going public, NVIDIA standing up a 37-member alliance to secure AI agents, and a UK court ruling that could reshape how nation-states answer for cyber operations. Let's start where we should start.
Yeah. Thailand's Ministry of Finance. Researchers have confirmed that threat actors deployed an autonomous AI agent, not AI-assisted tooling, not a chatbot generating phishing lures, an actual agentic system to conduct a sustained cyber espionage campaign against a sovereign government's finance ministry. This is the first publicly confirmed instance of agentic AI being used in a nation-state intrusion at this level. And I want to be precise about why this matters. The agent operated autonomously to maintain persistence and exfiltrate data at scale. It made decisions. It adapted. That's a fundamentally different threat model than what we've been defending against.
Let's be clear about the implication for CISOs. Your detection logic is built around human speed operations. Even sophisticated APTs have operational rhythms, working hours, dwell time patterns, decision latency. An autonomous agent doesn't have those constraints. It can test, adapt, and move laterally at machine speed, around the clock. If you're running a financial institution, a treasury function, anything adjacent to government finance, you need to be rethinking your detection assumptions today, not next quarter.
And the attribution question is interesting here too. We don't have a named threat actor yet, which itself is telling. When the operator is an AI agent, the human fingerprints get thinner. Attribution becomes harder. DIF teams are going to need new forensic methodologies to even characterize these intrusions. I think we're going to look back at this Thailand case as a watershed moment, the way we look back at Stuxnet for operational technology.
That's a strong comparison, but I think it's earned. Let's stay in the geopolitical lane. Nimbus Manticore.
Iranian state-backed group, also tracked as UNC 1549, Smoke Sandstorm, and about four other names, depending on your vendor. They've deployed a previously undocumented Windows backdoor called Night Ledger, along with two custom WebSocket tunnelers. The tunnelers are the interesting part. They're turning compromised victim systems into covert relay nodes, essentially building an anonymization network out of other people's infrastructure. Targeting spans the Middle East, Africa, and South Asia. Defense, energy, government-adjacent sectors.
If you have operations or supply chain touchpoints in those regions, this is actionable. Your threat hunt teams should be looking for anomalous WebSocket traffic patterns and updating detection rules for Night Ledger indicators. The relay infrastructure is particularly concerning because it means a compromised system in your environment might not be the target. It might be the plumbing for someone else's operation, and you're now a co-conspirator in an espionage campaign without knowing it.
Exactly. And the WebSocket tunneling is clever because it blends into legitimate web traffic. Most security stacks aren't deeply inspecting WebSocket frames at scale. That's a gap worth closing.
Let's shift to breaches, the EY situation.
Shiny Hunters claimed responsibility for a data breach at Ernst & Young. They say they obtained credentials through a supply chain attack. EY has confirmed a breach occurred, which gives the claim credibility. Shiny Hunters has a well-documented track record of monetizing large datasets, so this isn't bluster.
Here's where I want every CISO listening to stop and think about their own exposure. EY is one of the big four. If your organization uses EY for audit, consulting, tax advisory, M&A due diligence, there is a non-trivial chance that your sensitive data traverse their systems. You need to assess what data you've shared with EY. Review your contractual notification obligations and determine whether your data is in scope. Don't wait for EY's notification letter. Get ahead of it internally, especially with your general counsel and your board.
Supply chain attacks against professional services firms are uniquely dangerous because those firms are trusted with crown jewel data by design. Your auditor has your financials, your consultant has your strategy decks, your tax advisor has your corporate structure. It's a target-rich environment.
And then Coca-Cola confirmed data theft from Fairlife, their dairy subsidiary, in a ransomware attack earlier this month. They're saying no material financial impact, but there were operational disruptions requiring restoration of production capacity.
The no material impact framing is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. Production capacity had to be restored. That means OT was affected, or at minimum, the IT systems that orchestrate production were compromised enough to halt operations. For CISOs at large conglomerates, the subsidiary question is critical. Is your subsidiary segmented? Are their IT and OT environments truly isolated from the parent? Because ransomware actors are specifically targeting subsidiaries as softer entry points into larger corporate ecosystems.
It's also a board communications issue. When Coca-Cola shows up in a ransomware headline, every board in America asks their CISO the same question at the next meeting. Make sure you have a current, credible answer about your ransomware readiness, your subsidiary governance, and your recovery capabilities.
Let's talk vulnerabilities. Two critical items. First, CVE-2026-16812 in Arista VeloCloud Orchestrator. CVSS 10.0, actively exploited. OS command injection enabling arbitrary code execution on on-premises VCO deployments. Cloud instances are not affected. Arista has a patch available.
If you run on-prem VeloCloud, this is a drop-everything situation. The orchestrator is the brain of your SD-WAN. An attacker with code execution on your orchestrator can pivot to every branch in your network. That's not a single system compromise. That's enterprise-wide exposure. Patch immediately. If you can't patch immediately, isolate the orchestrator from any untrusted network path today.
Second, a fast JSON zero day. FastJSON is one of the most widely deployed Java JSON parsing libraries in enterprise environments. It's everywhere, in middleware, microservices, API layers. The vulnerability enables unauthenticated remote code execution with no user interaction and no elevated privileges. It's being actively exploited against US firms right now.
The challenge here is visibility. Most CISOs don't have a clean inventory of where FastJSON lives in their application portfolio. It's a transitive dependency in countless Java projects. Your application security team needs to run a software composition analysis sweep across your entire codebase today. If you can't patch immediately, deploy WAF rules to filter malicious payloads targeting known FastJSON to serialization patterns.
And then there's CertiGhost, a proof-of-concept exploit targeting Active Directory certificate services that allows an authenticated attacker to compromise an entire Windows domain. The POC is public, which means the exploitation bar just dropped dramatically.
ADCS has been a known soft spot since the original Certified and ESE vulnerabilities. If you haven't hardened your ADCS deployment, the urgency just increased. Review your certificate templates, enforce certificate approval workflows, and monitor for anomalous certificate enrollment activity. This is the kind of thing red teams have been exploiting for years. Now every script kiddie has the playbook.
Let's pivot to something more constructive. NVIDIA and 36 partners, including Microsoft, Cisco, CrowdStrike, Palo Alto Networks, IBM, and Cloudflare, have formed the Open Secure AI Alliance and open-sourced the NOAA framework for securing AI agents.
This is significant because of the breadth of the coalition. When you have cloud providers, security vendors, enterprise software companies, and AI companies all signing on to the same framework, you're looking at a de facto standard. CISO should be tracking NOAA closely. I expect it will show up in procurement requirements, in compliance frameworks, and eventually in regulatory guidance. If you're deploying AI agents in your environment, or your vendors are, the NOAA framework is likely going to become the baseline expectation for how those agents are secured.
And given what we just discussed about the Thailand case, the timing is fitting. We're seeing autonomous AI agents used offensively in nation-state campaigns and simultaneously seeing the industry try to build defensive guardrails. Those two timelines are going to be in a race for a while.
Two more items. Senator Wyden sent a letter to federal agencies urging them to replace legacy public-facing VPNs and move to zero-trust architecture. He cited devastating attacks attributed to legacy VPN weaknesses.
This has been obvious to the security community for years, but congressional pressure changes the procurement calculus. For CISOs in regulated industries or government contracting, this is a signal that analogous requirements are coming your way. And frankly, it's useful political cover. If you've been trying to get budget to rip out your legacy VPN infrastructure and accelerate zero trust, print this letter and bring it to your next budget meeting.
And finally, a UK court rejected Bahrain's claim of sovereign immunity in a civil case involving alleged hacking via commercial spyware. The court found that state immunity doesn't shield a foreign government from liability when it uses commercial tools to hack individuals.
This is a genuinely important legal precedent. It means nation states can potentially face civil litigation in UK courts for cyber operations conducted through commercial spyware. For enterprises, it opens a door. If you're the target of a nation state intrusion that leveraged commercial tools, you may have a legal remedy you didn't have before. It also puts commercial spyware vendors on notice that their government clients aren't bulletproof in Western courts.
Looking at the week ahead, the through line today is unmistakable. The threat landscape is undergoing a capability step change. Autonomous AI agents conducting espionage, supply chain attacks hitting the big four, CVSS 10 vulnerabilities and network orchestration infrastructure, zero days in ubiquitous open source libraries. The tools are getting more powerful, the targets are getting more central, and the attack surface is getting more abstract.
And the defensive side is trying to organize. The NOAA framework, the zero trust push, the legal precedents. But there's a lag. The offense is moving faster than the defense right now. CISOs who recognize that and adjust their assumptions, their detection logic, their incident response plans are going to be better positioned than those waiting for the frameworks to catch up.
Agreed. Don't wait for the framework. Use it when it arrives, but act on what you know today. That's all for this Tuesday. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm.
Stay sharp. We'll see you tomorrow.